Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston. We're imagining it's Christmas 1941. Back to John and Celeste in 1941.
It's great looking back in this 1941. And I think if you look back a decade, you realize that what made it through the Depression was the movie industry in the United States. President Roosevelt talked about that recently.
We have seen the American motion picture become foremost in all the world. We've seen it reflect our civilization throughout the rest of the world. The aims and the aspirations and the ideals of a free people and of freedom itself.
Of course, President Roosevelt speaking there. For me, it's more about escape, and that's why we have invited Rafer Guzman, our own movie correspondent, here into the studio to talk about the year in movies, 1941. I think escape is what most Americans do when they go into the movie theater. Don't you agree?
I think that's true. I think you want to get a little popcorn, sit back, enjoy the show, and forget about your problems.
And it's only a penny, right? I mean,
that's right.
That's the best part about it. So what are the films do you think are big this year? One thing that struck out for me was this movie, Maltese Falcon. I mean, you see a New York screenwriter, John Huston, going out to Hollywood trying to make good. Dashiell Hammett, of course, who wrote the book,
right?
Maltese Falcon. What do you think of this movie?
I think it's really great, and I think it's got a fantastic acting troupe in it with Humphrey Bogart.
This new guy. Let's listen to this clip and hear.
What have you ever given me beside money? Have you ever given me any of your confidence, any of the truth? Haven't you tried to buy my loyalty with money and nothing else?
What else is there I can buy you with?
Humphrey Bogart there, kind of a funny voice.
Yeah, very, very distinctive voice. This is sort of one of his first breakout roles I think we've seen from him so far, and he does a great job in it as a hard-bitten detective. It's also a very dark film, even though it is a good escapist film. Dashiell Hammett, you know, he knows how to throw some punches, and he's not messing around here.
Well, a lot of people were wondering if Dashiell Hammett would translate to the screen. Here, I think it does, but I wonder if this Humphrey Bogart fellow is going to get kind of cast in these characters from here on out.
It's a good question. He's got such a great face for it. I guess he could be a victim of typecasting in the future.
Indeed. Well, another New Yorker, huge in New York, comes out to Hollywood, tries to make it big. Listen to this movie.
I am the publisher of The Enquirer. As such, it's my duty, and I'll let you in on a little secret. It's also my pleasure to see to it that decent, hardworking people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates just because haven't anybody to look after their interests.
The movie's called Citizen Kane. Orson Welles plays the main character, and this is supposedly the climax of the entire movie right here.
Rosebud.
Did he say Rosebud, Rafer Guzman?
He did say Rosebud. I don't want to give it away, but it's a word that has great symbolic value for this character of Kane.
Now, this is a long movie. I have to say, I understood The War of the Worlds on the radio much better than I understood this film. I liked it, but it was pretty tough going.
I mean, I think the real value in this film, that what's gotten the critics excited about it, is the technical innovations here. You may not notice it as an average film goer, but the way that the cinematographer Greg Toland uses focus and what they call deep focus to put all the points of the picture in focus so that you see everything clearly, the foreground and the background and the middle ground, it's pretty tremendous. It's almost three-dimensional the way he does this.
You're kind of a technical guy, all this camera stuff moving around.
Well, you know, Orson Welles is too. I mean, people say that he's a real megalomaniac, but if you notice, he shares his title card of director with Greg Toland, the cinematographer. Directors usually don't do that. Mm-hmm. They usually want to put their own name on the screen alone with nobody else on it. So he did that.
Rafer Guzman loves Citizen Kane, not doing great at the box office, but
That's true.
Say maybe a legend in the making.
I think we will see more from this guy.
All right. It seems to me maybe the most significant film this year is about a story that anticipates where we are here in 1941 with the war and Pearl Harbor so close upon us. Sergeant York, tell us a little bit about that.
It's a true story based on the life of Alvin York, the most decorated soldier from the Great War of 1914. And this, you know, this film has got Gary Cooper in the lead role, and it's great to see Gary Cooper playing sort of a yokel of sorts, and he does it very well. Basically, he's living out in the middle of nowhere in Tennessee. It's so remote they don't even know there's a war coming, and they wind up getting drafted, and he doesn't want to go. He's a conscientious objector, but he actually goes to the mountaintop, he sits and he thinks about it, and he decides that, yes, indeed, he's got to come down and fight for his country.
Well, let's listen. Here's Gary Cooper.
I believe in the Bible, and I'm believing that this here life we're living is something the Lord done give us. And we got to be living it the best we can. And I'm figuring that the killing other folks ain't no part of what he was intending for us to be a-doing here.
Oh, love that Gary Cooper.
Oh, he's great in it.
It's got to be an Oscar contender because it so coincides with the way we're feeling now.
I think it does, and I think it really has a strong message to say that you can reconcile your personal, your religious beliefs with the way that you want to fight for the mm-hmm. country. Mm-hmm. And I think it probably says a lot about where America is right now and the feelings that people are having about the war that's upon us.
A lot of people are going to identify with the Sergeant York. I think you're right about
that,
so. Right, for Guzman. All right, the Disney movie, after the, I thought, a little too serious Fantasia, beautiful, but, you know, not much of a movie as far as I was concerned. Yeah,
apparently most of the public was with you. Yeah. Not a big success at the box office.
Who would have thought a little flying elephant takes the hearts of America away? What's the movie?
It's called Dumbo, and it's sort of a return to form for Disney, I think, after this extravagant Fantasia that they've done. I think it's a really wonderful film. It's really heartbreaking. It's about a little elephant whose ears are so enormous that he becomes an outcast. And, of course, he's got a kind of a Jiminy Cricket character, a mouse that, right, you know, on his shoulder, that figures out that his ears are, in fact, so big they can actually help him fly.
And you fall in love with this little elephant from the beginning.
Do. Dumbo! You flew! Boy, am I stupid. Why not think of this before? Your ears! Just look at them, Dumbo! Why, they're pointing wings! The very things that held you down are going to carry you up and up and up!
Well, Dumbo will be competing for sentimentality with How Green Was My Valley. That's got to be an Oscar contender, just released.
Definitely. A very populist film about the coal mining family in Wales. It's pretty difficult to overlook the sentimentality in that one, but it's very well done. You know, John Ford, terrific
Huge
director.
Cast. Walter Pidgeon, Maureen O'Hara, Anna Lee, Donald Cripps, Roddy McDowell, young kid. Let's finish out the year by noting, and we talked about this a little earlier in the hour, Hollywood, they broke ground on the first Hollywood studio like 30 years ago. Is that right? This fall, yeah.
It was 30 years ago. Well, how far we've come.
And so we dominate the world in movies.
Indeed we do.
Rafer Guzman, the takeaway movie contributor.
I saw a clothes horse, the raven buck.
And they tell me that a man made a vegetable truck.
Well, I didn't see that. I only heard.
Just to be sociable, I'll take your word.
I heard a fireside chat.
I saw a baseball bat.
And I just laughed till I thought I'd die.
But I'll be done seen about everything when I see an elephant fly.
Now let's hear from some more ordinary Americans on this Christmas 1941.
My name is James Bopp. I live in New York City. I work on the custodian staff at City College. And what Roosevelt did, he couldn't do anything else. It was forced upon us. There's nothing else for us to do but fight.
Yes, I'm ready any time. The Uncle Sam needs me, I'll be ready. I know Mexico is my country, but I left my country. And the longest I've been living here, and they've been treating me good, I'm American citizen now, and I just call this my country.
My name is Richard Kwan. I work for the city of New York. I think President Roosevelt's speech was excellent. And I think it is the only means of meeting the aggression of the Japanese by declaring war. And I think all the people of the United States will be behind the president because his speech was an excellent performance of his duty towards the people of this state. And I assure you that every working man will be behind the president in his hour of need.
My name's Willie Clay. I'm from Benson, Arizona. I was born and raised on a cattle ranch. I've rode bulls and burback horses, and I'm here for this big show, and what we all got in mind now is this war. What I think of it, I'm coming 21 years of age this next month. I got to register the 16th, and going to volunteer in for this Navy. Because I think their clothes fits more like Levi's, and besides, men can get in there and do action.
We're leaving you with this music by the German-American opera singer Lotte Lehmann. It's from a radio recital that was heard all over America this Christmas, 1941. Before she started singing, she urged listeners to put aside the despair that surrounds us and live in the hope that a time will come when all nations and races will be free.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.